evening, everyone, and welcome to our show. This is the Thinkers Challenge Show, and we welcome everyone who wants to listen to the insights that we have to share, and we hope that as you listen, sometimes it's just one thing that you may hear that can make a difference for you throughout the week and perhaps throughout your life. Today we're going to talk about victims and, you know, who are victims, why do we become victims, and to what do we become victims. And particularly, I'll be looking at being victims of past events or someone in the past having had such a, like a domineering effect on us that makes us still feel victimized. This happens a lot. I bring this up this week because throughout the week I get calls, and this is one of the things that has come up a lot during the week. It's just the past. And the past causing present victimization. And really, there's no reason for it if we understand how we can overcome it. So I thought today we would just look at how that happens. Some of the calls I get are about, you know, maybe it's one of them is both parents, actually, who were quite domineering, and whatever they did in the past, it making someone now, after how many years, probably almost 50 years, still feeling dominated and feeling like a victim of whatever those circumstances were. Another call was, it's a lot of beliefs, which I now call false beliefs, because I understand now that, you know, if things were not good, they were not true to begin with, not by what God knows about us. I think this is a very radical view, which it took me some time to accept, but really I see why it matters to see it in that sense, that in God, I mean, if God made us and he sustains us, then we have to be thinking more in the spiritual realm than what actually happens or appears to happen in our daily lives. And in that sense, our true self, which is the God child that he sustains, I know he would not let anything so bad happen to us. So it's like, okay, these things happened, but if we can accept that anything that's not really right or wrong couldn't have happened under God's watch, so to speak, then we should be able to let it go and move past it with a new, regenerated view of who we really are, you know, and then be able to overcome whatever the fear or whatever the hurt, whatever the resentment, whatever the negative effect was, can be free of it. In the Bible, let's see if I have the verse here. If I don't, I will post it later on. But I think it's in Philippians where Paul's talking about God requiring the past. And what is this past that he's talking about? And after much reading, I read a lot of commentaries about that. But in the end, I said, well, you, Father, just tell me what it is that this is trying to say. God required the past. And what came to me was that the things that have happened in the past, we must give up. We must give them up to God. We must surrender every wrong as part of what is not true, what has never been true about us, as God knows us, or as God has known us and kept us as his children. This is not something easy. I can't say that it was for me, but it's with a humble obedience to that admonition, I would say, that really frees you. Because why did he say that the truth will make you free? The truth that God keeps us under his watch. that we can, anything wrong that's supposed to have happened, we cannot accept as part of us for the rest of our lives. This bears much emphasis because I have seen where so many, in fact, I do have personal experience of a dear friend of mine who, because of the what happened in her past, it's a heartbreaking, the effect of it now, because she never really overcame it. She never, ever once overcame it. It became part of her identity. It became part of her life, consumed her totally to the point where she suffers from it physically. And it breaks my heart really to think about that, that if by some way she could have really gotten over what happened, perhaps her life will not be this way today. And it's not just her. I bring that one up because it's really close to me, and I would say it hurts to see that these wrong things, which become false thoughts in our thinking, can build up to the point where you can currently suffer from them, physically as well as emotionally. This thing about if it wasn't good, it was never true about you, and we go to God to help us to unsee the evil or the wrong that has ever happened, so that we can move on with a new view of ourselves, with a renewed spirit, so to speak, you know, and then in a new embrace of who we really are. No matter how long it takes, I feel strongly that it is a very, very important thing to do, letting the past go and embracing the new. I read that he said, God, if God is all, then he is the past, present, and future. Therefore, all must be good. Therefore, the prayer, the fervent prayer for God to clean our hearts, to give us a renewed spirit, for wisdom in the hidden parts, and then to help us pour out all of the old wine in order to pour in the new. At this point, let me see if my guest or anyone on the show would like to make a comment, and then I will go on to read. I have a nice short article that I found during the week about how we can give up the past and embrace the new. Okay, 404-951-1096. If you have any comments so far, let's hear it, and then we'll go on.
One of my comments and my thoughts are, if you have accepted Christ, you become a new creature. But why the lingering thoughts? What do you now think of yourself? What do you call yourself? And why moving forward? And if Christ died and his death paid for everything, including the idea of victimization, why do we cling to it? It is a process. I know that it is a process, but the thought that you are a victim, if you believe in Christ and he has already paid, to me, it behooves one to move forward and not have it's a process. That's my thought.
Yeah, it is a process. I mean, nobody can say this is easy, because it's an accumulation of thoughts that of course, there are thoughts that we justify because of what maybe happened. This happened to me, that happened to me, that happened to me. But if we don't, I think maybe it's first the acceptance. We should be willing to accept this new birth of ourselves, as you say. Like, we have to be willing to say no. If I trust God, if I trust that He has made that perfect child, His reflection, then I should be willing to let the past go. You know, no matter how long it takes, I should be willing, if I am willing first, if I desire to go with the new, then you say you have a chance of it starting. It starts all in thought. It's a thought about who I am. It's always the thought about who I am. How have I come now to understand who God is and who I am? And so with those new insights, I can move forward with what I know I am now. And that's all that matters, really. Because what happened like 20 years ago, so what? It really shouldn't have any impact on me now. If I trust God, if I trust what He's saying about me. It's the term, the eternal now, is of much importance here, because it's really now that we have. We only have now. We don't have what happened even 2 minutes ago, a minute ago, or what's going to happen. We don't have that. What we have is right now, each moment. So if in each moment we are looking to ourselves as this new creature, the new creature which says we have the mind of Christ, Paul says so, we have the mind of, this mind of Christ isn't full of all these wrong thoughts about ourselves. Maybe we were made to feel that we are not worthy. Those are some of the calls that come. Maybe we were made to feel like, totally dominated by somebody else. Someone else is more important. Maybe we were made to feel that we are a failure. Maybe we were made to feel that we'll never amount to anything. I hear that a lot. In fact, once I got a call from a gentleman from in the Midwest somewhere, and it's heartbreaking, all the things that he was saying, and it's painful to watch how what he was told as he was growing up as a child has never left him. You know, and it led to him, you know, drinking and having all kind of destructive behavior, which I guess is in alignment with what he was made to believe about himself. That's all he knew. He told me that his father used to say, "You will amount to nothing. You will become you are nothing now, and you will never become anything." I mean, it's a wicked thing to say. It's a deeply wrong thing to instill in a child's mind that you are nothing. Who said so? Everyone is something. Everyone is someone in the eyes of God. This has to be so deeply in our hearts. And whatever blocks such a thought, we must come to God on our knees for it to be wiped out, because everyone is something. And I think it's those thoughts lurking in our consciousness that lead some people to act it out in certain behaviors. And then we say, "Well, see, I said you are not going to be anything." But can you blame someone when since a child, like I think this gentleman was like, as far back as he can remember, when he was not even in his teens, this is all he heard. "You are nothing. You can." And if somehow, as he was growing up, he had that somebody to help correct that view of himself, I'm sure he wouldn't be like this today. Yeah. suffering not just emotionally but physically as well, because of the destructive behavior, he had all kinds of so-called medical problems as well. It's not right, and this giving up the past, it had never become so important until these things came up to the surface, that really we do need to give up this past, whatever it takes, no matter how. And when the heart is desiring, somehow God leads you to the right place or to the right information, whether you're reading it somewhere or other, for you to really get past what has never been true about you, not as a child of God. As I said just a moment ago, everyone is important to him, because none of us are here just because. We're all here because we reflect him. And if that is really well planted in our thoughts as we're growing up, I think it will make a big, big difference in how we view ourselves. Okay, I'm going to read this little article. It's by a lady called Catherine Young. And, you know, again, you will hear about Mary Baker Eddy because Christian Science, the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, is written by her. And through all that, she humbly is talking about what Christ Jesus came to teach. She never takes credit, really, that she is the one, you know, coming with all this. She is showing what Christ Jesus came to teach, to help a higher enlightenment as to what we are in view of what God really is. Okay, the article is titled, Forgetting Those Things Which Are Behind. And it says, one of the most tenacious of the wrong thoughts that cling to mankind and cause much suffering is the belief in an unhappy past. An undue regard for the past leads one to forget the present, which is his only real concern. And then he refers to a page in the book, on page 224 of Science and Health. She says, as the crude footprints of the past disappear from the dissolving paths of the present, we shall better understand the science which governs these changes and shall plant our feet on firmer ground. It goes on to say that in Acts, we read of the wonderful conversion of Saul to Christianity and his splendid missionary work. In his zealous persecution of the Christians before his conversion, he had burdened himself with memories and guilt. Nevertheless, he was able to pierce the mass of sorrow and doubt, as is indicated by his words to the Philippians. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Now that's really chilling. I feel goosebumps reading this. It's talking about, look at what he did. I mean, in deep repentance and sorrow for all that he had done, if he had held on to those things, he couldn't have gone forward to do all the greater things he did, which wipes out the past. He couldn't have done that. And likewise, if we can't go past what supposedly has happened to us in the past, who knows what great things are ahead of us? No matter what has happened, if we can't go past it, and we hold on to it, it clings to it, it becomes our identity, pretty soon we are living it, the sorrow, the guilt, the resentment, all over again, stifles any growth any growth, both spiritually as well as in life, any growth that could occur. So this is a very good one. I'll read it again. It says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark." And I'm sure the mark being doing God's will, you know, walking as God's child, becoming this new person. And it's an example for all of us. The article goes on to say, we know that his forgetting was no light-minded disregard of difficulties, but a scientific laying aside of that which he knew to be of no avail in order that his whole attention might be devoted to the great work in which he was engaged. We must detach thought from the dead past and use the opportunity of the present hour. It means we are to work with God in all that we undertake. As we begin the work of forgetting, as St. Paul did, divine love, will guide us as he was guided, to work, to think in the present, was undoubtedly Paul's method of accomplishment. As we go about our lives, we find no time for negative thoughts, and the seemingly fateful past vanishes from our consciousness. The good that was ours in the past is ours now, and always has been ours. For good is God, and the evil, the sorrow, the sin, the sickness, and the heavy burden never existed except as false beliefs. As our textbook says, this is Science and Health talking about, we must forsake the mortal sense of things, turn from the lie of false beliefs to truth, and gather the facts of being from the divine mind, which is God. So it calls us to the present, to look at now only. You know, and if sometimes some of the things that happen, they are so hurtful that there is a lot of, if I wish I could do that to that person, or you just wish they could be punished for what they did to you, and all these things build up of resentment. I mean, I have seen where this kind of thinking actually affected physical things that, you know, we can justify in whichever way we want to, but every ill that happens to us has some sort of a mental basis. You know, if we can just let it go, and as we have said before in one of the episodes about forgiveness and forgetting, truly forgiving and forgetting, as Paul does say it too here, when he started to forget, you know, then love, God's love, takes over. It starts to work then to wipe out whatever was not pleasant, whatever was not good in our thought. It's amazing how far away these can be removed from us, that it doesn't even come to thought anymore. It's gone. Why? Because the love of God fills its place. The love of what you really are fills its place. The love of the child of God, what God says you are, fills its place. And those horrible feelings, horrible memories, are gone. I know that everyone wants to feel free. And it's not the kind of freedom it is. It's a deep, a very, very deep sense of feeling God's love. It's the only way to feel that freedom. But anything negative really is in the middle. It blocks that feeling of God's love in your heart, making it your own, where you can feel that presence everywhere. So, again, we have to make sure that we are desiring that we are to let the past go. We are desiring, like Paul says, to forget the things that are behind, to reaching forth unto those things which are before, because great things are before everyone. Great things are before every single, we call it, idea of God. It can be, but be good. God is good. Therefore, his reflection has nothing but good. So anyway, we'll leave you with a thought that it's important to stay in the present, as the article said, to work to think in the present was undoubtedly Paul's method of accomplishment, and we know that it can be ours also. Have a great week, and we'll see you again on the show next week. If you do have any questions, please write to florence@thinkerschallenge.com. If you have any suggestions as to what you would like us to share insights on, again, write to that email, and we'll be happy to take them up and share what we have come to know that is changing our lives. Have a great week, and bye for now.